Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for him.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can a man's musings be riddled with truth and yet have the wrong conclusion? I'm afraid so. This is Wretched Radio, no doubt one of the hottest topics on the Christian blogosphere, internetosphere, social media sphere. Don't worry, you're in good hands. I know the contemporary lingo is an article that was presented by a very popular, high-profile theologian whose name we mention because as we go about the business of disagreeing with this brother, would like to do it agreeably. To demonstrate that two evangelicals can have a difference of opinion and yet be gracious. Not necessarily nice, but gracious. You see, nice would be to say, well, I'll just pretend that didn't happen. Oh, I won't point anything out that I disagree. That's not what we're called to be. We are called to be gracious. And so we are going to endeavor to model graciousness as we go about the business of agreeing and disagreeing with an article that was presented by Pastor John Piper regarding the 2020 elections. Please note, there is so much in his article that is right. So much that is like, oh, that is a clarion call to the evangelical church to think through how we are handling some of the issues regarding the political realm. And yet, the area of disagreement that I have with Dr. Piper is regarding his conclusion. Let me read it to you so that you can hear the man himself. Quote, I remain baffled that so many Christians consider the sins of unrepentant sexual immorality, porneia, and he explains that he put it in Greek for us to understand, hey, these are biblical sins here. So he's baffled that so many Christians consider the sins of unrepentant sexual immorality, porneia. Now, by the way, speaking of name mentioning, Dr. Piper doesn't mention the name of the person that he's talking about. It's quite clear. And so even though he doesn't say it's the orange man, we all know that it is. So he says that the sins of unrepentant sexual immorality, unrepentant boastfulness, unrepentant vulgarity, unrepentant factiousness, and the like, to be only toxic for our nation, while policies that endorse baby killing, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialism overreach are viewed as deadly. So Dr. Piper has put two issues on the scale. The character of our current president, and he is describing it in the aforementioned terms here, unrepentant sexual immorality, etc. So the character of the president, in his estimation, it's on this side of the scale. And then the policies of abortion, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialism are on the other side of the scale. And the conclusion that Dr. Piper has, it appears that the character of the president outweighs the policies of the president. I disagree. We have sinful men and women in every political office. We need to accept that. And at the same time, I would agree with Dr. Piper. It is much better for a leader to be moral. The Proverbs scream this truth regularly. It is good for a nation when there is a godly leader. But what if you don't have that choice? Dr. Piper puts things on a scale, and for him, it tips to the side of the president's morality. I disagree. While I would love it if every president were more moral, I'm sorry, the issue of abortion alone, it makes that scale slam down to one side, not to mention the gender issues, freedom limiting, in other words, socialism, the taking away of rights. These are massive issues that are going to impact millions. Having said that, we need to listen to the biblical warning of Dr. Piper to not overlook that the values of a political leader are, they're not insignificant. They can corrupt a nation. So now how do you weigh things? Somehow for Dr. Piper, his scale tipped. Well, actually, he says, I take that back. He says, I'm not going to tell you how the scales tip. But he offers as an option. And I will again suggest to you that if this were other issues that were on the scale, for instance, slavery, sex trafficking, rape, I am certain, I believe, Dr. Piper would be screaming from the mountaintops that that is a sin and that any candidate who endorses those policies should not be considered as a viable option for you. I remember years ago visiting Bethlehem Baptist Church in downtown Minneapolis. It happened to be January. It was Life Month. Now, this was before Life Month was actually a trend in evangelical Christianity. John Piper led the way. January was dedicated to the promotion of the sanctity of human life. Things seemed to have blurred somehow that the morality of one man outweighs that entire issue. Dr. Piper writes, I think it's a drastic mistake to think that the deadly influences of a leader come only through his policies and not only through his person. I think we do well to say amen, Dr. Piper. Amen. And we evangelicals should hear that and remember, this is not Piper's opinion, this is Proverbs' opinion, that the righteousness of a nation, it can be determined and driven by the leaders of that nation. And how that person behaves, it does have an impact. Now, it's not voted on in Congress, but it does make its way into society. And there can be a refinement or a coarsening. There can be higher morals or lower values based on the leader, him or herself. So to that, we should be willing to say, thank you for that, Dr. Piper. Thank you for that reminder. But that does not outweigh the intentional desire of an entire party to snuff out life, religious freedoms, the traditional marriage understanding that Christians have and our Western civilization has held for 2,000 years, that it does not outweigh that. He is stating that the first list of sins is not only deadly, but also deadly forever. So how can you vote for somebody who experiences and practices unrepentant boastfulness. Quote, I think it is a drastic mistake to think that the deadly influences of a leader come only through his policies and not only through his person. Correct. Which one weighs heavier? You have a decision to make. These are not the types of decisions we prefer. We do not make these types of decisions typically inside of the church. We can, however, I believe we must, inside of the realm of politics. Dr. Piper, Christians communicate a falsehood to unbelievers who are also baffled when we act as if policies and laws that protect life and freedom are more precious than being a certain kind of person. They are. I would love it if our president used correct grammar all the time, never ended a sentence with a preposition, held every door open for a woman that passes by, that held his silverware correctly, that never used potty language, that when he talked about Jesus, it didn't make you cringe. But that doesn't weigh nearly as much as the effect of his policies that he not only is stating he's going to implement, but has implemented. That is why I have to confess so many evangelicals who love John Piper are absolutely baffled by his weighing of the issue. And I would again suggest let's remove life from the scale. Put in the aforementioned issues that seem rather clear to us. Slavery, sex trafficking, rape. We wouldn't be having this debate, I don't think. The church is paying dearly and will continue to pay for our communicating this falsehood year after year. That is a word that I think we should ponder. Unfortunately, that is found in the context of such a contentious issue pre-voting, pre-election time. But nevertheless, we do need to consider this. His voice should be heard on this. How we talk about politicians and politics, the world listens. Now, please note, he's really concerned, and many people are. Many evangelicals, by the way, many of the evangelicals that you think they're getting social justice-y and woke, why are they acting like that? Part of it is, I think, that they're very concerned about how the church is perceived if we get it wrong on the racial issue. I'm not saying we are or aren't. I'm just saying they're very concerned. In fact, they're so concerned that the next generation, they will go the wrong direction on LGBTQ issues because if we get slavery wrong, they're not going to listen. They're not going to follow in the faith. And the next thing you know, they're gay affirming. That is just the way that they've pondered it, the way that they've filtered this issue. Right now, when the subject is so contentious because we're waiting to see which direction our nation is going to go, we might be inclined to not heed his advice that there is truth in this, that the church does pay a price if we do not speak about politics rightly. So let us explore that lesson lovingly, respectfully, whilst disagreeing with Dr. Piper's conclusion that the weighing of the issues is not clear, especially in light of the life issue. Next on Wretched Radio. The next time somebody tells you that you Christians shouldn't be so pro-life unless you're willing to take care of the mothers who keep their babies, give them the web address preborn.org. Not only does this amazing ministry preach the gospel to every woman who comes into one of their clinics, not only do they show free ultrasounds to women who 80% of the time choose life, but they also help women after they deliver their babies with goods, with services, with money. It is an amazing ministry that I would like to encourage you to consider supporting. $140 will pay for 5 free ultrasounds. Would you please consider doing that at preborn.org, preborn.org.
It's another day and another episode of Wretched Radio. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in and listening today. We're always appreciative of your time, and we're also appreciative when you send us your stories. Just like this story, which was sent in at idea@wretched.org. He says, I'm a young man from Ghana, West Africa, and it's so refreshing to see your love for God and His Word and your passion and desire to reach people for the kingdom. I admire your courage, persistence, faith, and resolve to represent the kingdom of God and to expose the gospel to the world. And that's exactly what we do here at Wretched. We want to expose the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world, and we need your help to do it. If you want to help us produce more stories like this, would you prayerfully consider becoming a monthly gospel partner? We can't do what we do without our gospel partners. Visit wretched.org/donate to find out all of the details right now. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If you have been going bonkers and perhaps praying for alternatives to expensive health insurance, I am thrilled to commend to you MediShare. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched to learn about affordable, biblical health sharing. This just might be the answer to your prayers. Imagine Christians praying for you and sharing one another's health care burdens. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched.
Halloween is right around the corner, and Wretched has you covered. Don't Stub Your Toe is the perfect booklet to give away to trick-or-treaters coming to your door. Give away candy and the gospel this year with this 48-page booklet, perfect for all ages. Evangelizing has never been easier. Don't pass up on this amazing opportunity to give away the gospel. Visit wretched.org/toe to order your copies just in time for Halloween. That's wretched.org/toe. wretched.org/toe.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, Somebody's baffling is baffling. This is Wretched Radio, respectfully, with honor, as if speaking to a father. Dr. John Piper has staked a position for evangelicals to consider regarding the 2020 election, claiming that he's absolutely baffled at some evangelicals and their clarity on the scales, how we weigh the issues and conclude, hey, it's more important that there are laws and that there are policies that are more biblical than politicians being more biblical. It would appear that Dr. Piper, his scale tips toward it's more important to have moral politicians than to have moral positions. That is baffling to me. He's baffled that some of us are crystal clear on this. I'm baffled that he wrote in a recent article, which is causing a lot of to-do, and we want to respond to it the way the Christian should. Not haranguing, not harping, engaging with the issue, engaging with the argument, and doing it as if, I don't know, we might spend eternity in heaven with John Piper. You are planning on that, right? That should change the way we talk about one another. And yet, I have to confess, I'm bewildered as he writes, quote, "I find it bewildering that Christians can be so sure that greater damage will be done by bad judges, bad laws, and bad policies than is being done by the culture-infecting spread of the gangrene of sinful self-exaltation and boasting and strife-stirring."
Yeah.
So he weighs the issues. Now, let's not over... This is not an either-or. This is a both-and, but they do not weigh equal amounts. We should be interested in this. We should be concerned about this. We shouldn't overlook it, and we should call it when we see it. We should. That's how we transcend politics. It's not by saying, well, I'm not for this or for that. I'm above that. No. We're for this or we're for that, but when we see a guy that's for this and he's acting like for that, then we should be able to say it. That's truth speaking as an evangelical, not disengaging from the issue. And it certainly doesn't mean not weighing it. So here's how I weigh it. Biblically, Dr. Piper is correct. There is an influence when leaders are corrupt. And there are influences in culture when leaders are godly. But here's where I draw where the line becomes crystal clear for me. We are talking about issues that can and cannot be legislated. Somebody being crude and boorish cannot be legislated. And so if somebody who's crude and boorish is in power and infects society and makes them crude and boorish, laws can't fix that. Those are heart issues. But issues of taking the life of an innocent whole human being, of feeding steroids and doing surgery procedures on 8-year-olds because they think that they're the wrong gender, those things can be legislated. And so to me, in the political realm, one clearly weighs heavier than the other. Somebody does not have to become boorish. Somebody does not have to become overbearing, as is the accusation in this article, and a lot of people are stating that. But that's different than somebody being permitted to take the life of a baby who cannot speak for him or herself. And that is precisely what we are called to do, to defend those who are slaughtering to the slaughter, who cannot speak for themselves. We're clearly commanded to do that. So that, to me, is the weighing of the issue. We are talking about sinful things, bad attitudes, the way that we speak toward one another in ways that are certainly not loving. It is bad that we talk about liberals in angry, sinful ways. It's worse to murder somebody who's a liberal. It's bad that somebody is perhaps coarse or immoral. It's worse that they go about the business of funding and helping people commit the crime of intentionally taking an innocent human life. There's such a vast difference. I'm bewildered myself. Somebody observed this, and this is Tish Raiden for you to consider. You talk about this at dinner time. The Pietists are an interesting group. Please note, there were different sects of Pietism, but we'll focus on one right now. The people who identified what was happening because of Luther's Reformation in Europe. that there was becoming a formalism, a mere mental assent to theological creeds, and that's all. And the pietists went, no, 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 it should be warm, and it should be about holiness, and it should be about being separate from the world. And so they did, without any care or consideration for the world. They, if you will, they built walls, and they stayed inside of them. And they became pietists. You know the implication of that. They were kind of, you know, those really religious people. And that is, they had some correct observations about what was happening in Europe. Their response to it, almost soundly these days, is criticized. This feels a bit like pietism again. That we are just going to be this really sanctified people. That is right. And judge people on our sanctification levels as opposed to cultural implications based on the activities of politicians, which have direct physical implications. Nobody has to listen to the president swear and repeat it. But if there are laws passed that take away religious liberty, well, that does impact you, doesn't it? You can listen to the president speak, and you can conclude, if you choose, I think that he has racist thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's another thing, however, to target black babies in the womb to take their lives. I'm absolutely bewildered myself, respectfully. Dr. Piper asks, how do they know this? Seriously, exclamation point. Where do they get the sure knowledge that judges' laws and policies are less destructive than boastful factiousness in high places? This is not an either or. It should be a both and. And that should be something that we take positively from the Dr. Piper position. We should see this. And this should allow us to be better assessors of politicians. Make no mistake about it. This nation right now, and you can argue different reasons. I get it. These issues are complex. They're never one issue. One thing makes the whole country behave this way. So you can't blame the factiousness on the current president. But ask yourself the question, has he contributed to unity? Now, I get it. I understand your argument that you would say, well, he simply takes the right side and the other side, then they get all angry. Okay, but I'm still asking, does he contribute to unity? Has he been one that most people would say he's a unifier? And I think a reasonable conclusion would be, for whatever reason, that hasn't happened. That isn't unimportant. That isn't worth nothing. But is it worth more than the slaughter of 3,000 babies today? A million per year? How's about abortion medicine that's simply being delivered by mail? Supreme Court just said, you can keep doing that. You can keep sending an abortifacient through the mail. The current administration, they were against it. The Democratic Party, absolutely for it. Now that's an actual human being dying versus parents that might use potty language. I'm sorry, where do I get that from? The weighing of the issues in the Bible. Some issues are heavier than others. Is it worse for a man to look with lust or to actually have an affair? That's obvious. We underestimate how bad it is to look with lust, but we overestimate it if we say it is equal to the actual physical act itself. You will be judged for every angry word. You'll be more severely judged if you hack off somebody's head, which, by the way, happens in abortion. There's simply a weighing of the issues. And so I believe, in response to Dr. Piper's question, even though it had exclamation points, was pretty aggressive, I would say, sir, I get it from the Bible, that there are some sins worse than other sins. And we see that replete in Scripture. We see some kings. We've got kings in the Bible that the Bible says they were good kings, and yet they still let people go to the mountaintops to worship in the wrong place. The sin of Jeroboam, it was terrible. And yet they were the king, they were permitted, and they did some good things Because there's a weighing of issues that I believe we see in the Bible. Make no mistake about it. This was the nasty sin that typically made you a bad king. And yet there were good kings who didn't deal with the issue the way that they should have, to be precise. And the same thing is true today. There are issues that are weightier. There are issues that are lighter. Dr. Piper, his word should be heeded. The morality, the behavior of political candidates is not insignificant. It is important. It weighs something, but it doesn't weigh policies, judges, platforms, and political positions that take the lives of a million babies per year. That simply weighs more. With all due respect, this is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Theologian and seminary president Al Mohler says in a new column that he has changed his mind about Donald Trump as president, even if he hasn't changed his mind about Trump's character. Mohler didn't support Trump 4 years ago and spoke out multiple times against the Republican nominee, writing in the summer of 2016 that evangelicals were tragically being urged to support the lesser of two evils. This week, though, Mohler said he now supports Trump. Mohler made his arguments in a column, Christians, Conscience, and the Looming 2020 Election. Mueller said, quote, I've had to think about more deeply about how character is evaluated in historic context. Trump's judicial nominations and support for pro-life causes helped sway Mueller, who didn't believe in 2016 Trump would govern as a pro-life president. Mueller said, I was wrong. I have no means of reading Donald Trump's heart on the issue, but I can easily evaluate his actions. In terms of presidential action, Donald Trump has been the most effective and consequential pro-life president of the modern age. Furthermore, in both executive actions and court appointments, President Trump has gone far beyond what would have been politically necessary to secure his base. He has staked his place in history and has defied the accommodationist temptation and has given pro-life Americans more than any other president. I sincerely hope that Donald Trump, and not Joe Biden, will be elected president of the United States on November the 3rd. Amen to that. And speaking of President Trump, his nominee for Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett, was confirmed by the U.S. Senate on Monday, capping a rush to have her seated by Election Day and culminating a decades-long effort by conservatives to reshape the nation's highest court from a left-leaning body to one that is more reliably right of center. The Senate confirmed Barrett by a vote of 52-48, with Republicans compromising the all-yes votes and Democrats joined by one GOP senator, Maine's Susan Collins, voting no. Barrett will replace the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was a hero of the left and passed away September the 18th at the age of 87. Barrett's confirmation means that President Trump now has named three justices to the Supreme Court, the most by one president in a single term since President Nixon, who placed four justices on the Supreme Court during his first term in the late 60s and early 70s. President Reagan nominated three justices during a two-term span in the 1980s. President Trump, during a White House ceremony, called a momentous occasion. Barrett took her constitutional oath during a ceremony from Justice Clarence Thomas. Barrett previously served as a judge on the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals and as a law professor at Notre Dame. She acknowledged during her confirmation hearings that she is personally pro-life, although she said on Monday that it is, quote, the job of a judge to resist her policy preferences. She is the fifth woman on the high court and the first mother of school-aged children. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness. He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
See what I did there? I did the first thing second and the second thing first. This is Wretched Radio. Have you noticed a trend? When a thoughtful evangelical is reviewing a bad book, they tend to front load it. Let me just tell you all the great things about this book. It does this, it does this, it does this, it does that. Now, here's the problems. I'm not a fan of that when it's a bad book or, I believe, a wrong idea. I personally prefer to say, here's the problems. Now, that we're all warned and we haven't lost our attention span yet, here's some things that are positive. Mike Huckabee wrote an article in response to Pastor John Piper in the 2020 elections. Dr. Piper, who took the position that the character of a candidate is more important, that appears to be his position, more important than that person's actual policies, that laws are less important than somebody's character. I disagree. Having stated that, hoping to make a biblical argument to support my belief that, yep, it is absolutely important that we take a look at the character of a politician and be willing to judge it publicly, we weigh policies more. Why? Because those actually impact definitively actual people. The bad character of a politician may, furthermore, while it may corrupt people and make them less loving, the act of abortion, the act of taking a human life, on the scale of justice, simply weighs heavier, as sins do in the Bible. I just presented that case. Would now like to learn from Dr. Piper's article. Here are the good things. Again, this was a summary from Mike Huckabee, who disagreed with Dr. Piper and yet was willing to say, here's some points of agreement. Mike Huckabee put him up front. I prefer to put him at the other end of the discussion. Nevertheless, let's take a look at what Dr. Piper seems to be concerned about and learn if there is something that we need to adjust. We can do that. I know it's hard these days. These issues are contentious. And you might think, oh, great. Now the skinny talk show host is getting all liberal. No, I just spent the last two segments saying I disagree. But that doesn't mean in the course of a conversation with a brother I can't learn something or agree. I don't have to be selling out on the ultimate issue, the bottom line, without going, you know, good point. Good point. Can we do that? Let's. This again, Mike Huckabee summarizing the good things that Dr. Piper said. He writes, first, I wholeheartedly agree with Pastor Piper that the foremost calling of a minister of the gospel is to lead people to see Jesus Christ, trust his forgiveness for sins, treasure him above everything in this world, live in a way that shows his all-satisfying value, and help them to make it to heaven with love and holiness. Anybody argue with that?
Nope.
Nope. It's fascinating. I heard a sermon from Dr. Piper years ago when the issue of spanking was on the top of the social consciousness. We were having conversations about spanking, and there were politicians that were saying, we're gonna make it illegal. I don't know if it was just in the state of Minnesota where he's from or if it was nationwide, but Dr. Piper said, and this is pretty close to a quote, if the government makes it illegal to spank children, I am going to take my children out into the street and spank them publicly. Whoa. Why did he say that? Because Christianity was under assault. A teaching that is biblical, that a parent who loves their children will lovingly discipline them. And Dr. Piper was basically saying, government, not going to do that. Now, he was doing more there than just teaching people how to love Jesus more. He was teaching people how to be obedient. And he was revealing that he was not inclined to let the government overstep their bounds of authority and bring it into the church regarding spanking. And so I just want to make sure that we understand, and Dr. Piper, I think, has even modeled, well, there's more to pastoral ministry than just preaching about the gospel. Gospel implications, gospel applications. That the gospel informs all of these realms of our lives, including the political realm. I think that he's exemplified that. Point number two. Second, I deeply share Dr. Piper's concerns that many American pastors have failed to develop real radical Christians, Christians who are willing to die for Jesus. I just would like to, as an aside, make sure that we understand what it means to be a radical Christian. It doesn't mean selling everything and moving to Myanmar. It means being holy. It means doing what the Bible says and not what culture says. It means being a man who doesn't look at pornography. It means being a woman who says, you know, we could have finer wine, but I'm going to stay home and take care of my babies. By the way, where did I get that line about finer wine? From Dr. Piper, who, commenting on the culture, has said we're trading our children for finer wine. What was he doing? Well, he's doing more than just teaching his people to love Jesus, teaching them to obey. So this, it's both things. But his word is wisely received. Remember point one, our foremost calling of the minister of the gospel is to lead people to see Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's more things. He's also concerned that pastors have been not encouraging their flock to be radical Christians in behavior with morality issues. Now, you can judge for yourself on that issue, but if he's accurate, then I would join him in the chorus and going, you are correct, sir. The pastor's foremost responsibility is to teach us to love Jesus. Amen. Second, that they should be developing holy Christians. Amen to that. No problem, right? Number three, Mike Huckabee says, I agree with Pastor Piper that our obsession with the elections and the well-being of America undermines the reality that we are citizens of a higher kingdom and that we are only passing through this world. Now, I know how you could take that. You could go, oh, there it is. We're just passing through, so don't care. There's the pietist attitude again. No, I don't think that we have to receive it that way. He is correct, isn't he? That our obsession should be about the kingdom of God. That our obsession should be a God's obsession. Remember Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel 37, the promise. There is going to be a new kingdom established by the line of David. This is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. And what did Daniel, a contemporary of Ezekiel, say? In Daniel 2 and Daniel chapter 7, he showed a statue and he showed an animal. What was it? A representation of kingdoms. And there was going to be a pebble that crushed all of them. Who is it? Who's ushering in that kingdom? It's the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Who is of the lineage of David? Which is why the genealogy of Matthew begins with a genealogy. And it's about the line of David. This is the king. The kingdom is here. And Jesus announced what the kingdom is. Vote a certain way? Tax policies a certain way? No. Blessed are those who mourn, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it is a kingdom where Jesus reigns with a group of people who have happily submitted to his reign. That is the kingdom of God. That is where you and I reside while we live here in this zip code. It's just a priority issue, and it doesn't mean that you have to sell out on the issues, or does it mean that we need to lessen our intensity about some of this subject matter, especially when we're looking at an election. Let's learn from this. We are not a political party. We're Christians. We are Christian. And that's not like, yeah, but no, that's a big deal. And it should inform the way we talk about the political realm. At this moment, I'd like to remind you of the first two segments where we discussed this subject. Number four, Mike Huckabee says, I concur that the character flaws of our president have been very damaging. As Piper wrote, when a leader models self-absorbed, self-exhausting boastfulness, he models the most deadly behavior in the world. He points his nation to destruction, destruction of more kinds than we can imagine. Okay, I believe that, and that can indeed be an effect of a leader who's in for 4 years, 8 years, but it's limited. Policies go on long after a president leaves. If you believe that the current president is boorish, he's going to be gone and his influence will evaporate. Now, we'll feel a ripple effect when it comes to politeness in the public discourse. But laws remain on the books. Laws affect actual people. His influence is going to wane. Policies, they last. Number five, I have no problem with a Christian saying he or she cannot vote for either candidate. I have always respected that view, even if it's not my own. I have a massive problem with a self-identified pro-life, pro-Bible Christian voting for Biden and the Democrats. I would disagree with Mike Huckabee there. And look at that. There's two disagreements now, and it can be done lovingly. in my estimation, to vote for somebody who has no ability to save babies on their way to the slaughterhouse is dereliction of duty. You have a responsibility to be wise and to choose somebody who actually can help. A bad illustration, your house is on fire. A polite man is standing there being very polite. A crude man has a bucket and a hose. Who are you going to work with? We'll continue agreeing and disagreeing lovingly next on Wretched Radio.
129 people commit suicide each and every day. 129 people, that's 129 too many. As a matter of fact, this generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. People are in desperate need of help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it at the moment, but you do know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is going to provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. So get your copies now and give these booklets away to someone who needs hope. You can find your copies online right now at our website, wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
From Eastern Europe, Cindy Marty of The Tomorrow Clubs.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a Tomorrow Club in that place.
Do you know how many ministries are trying to reach people in lost villages all throughout Eastern Europe? The answer is not many, but Tomorrow Clubs do. And for just $30 per month, you could be discipling 30 little Eastern European kids who have never heard the gospel. It's a magnificent ministry. How many clubs could you sponsor? Please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, kids. Now, welcome back to the Vocabulary Corner with me, Jimmy. It's time to learn a new vocabulary term. And today's word of the day is doomscrolling. So what is doomscrolling? Well, the definition is the tendency to continue to surf or scroll through bad news, even though that bad news is saddening, disheartening, or even depressing. But never fear, Wretched has a much better way for you to spend your time. Head on over to wretched.org. That's right, wretched.org, where you can watch full-length episodes of Wretched TV, listen to the hour-long Wretched podcast, and visit the Wretched store for all things Wretched. There are so many things that you can watch or listen to that will preoccupy your time in a much better way. And while you're there, would you also consider becoming a gospel partner? Our gospel partners mean the world to us. Literally, without you, there is no Wretched, and you'll have to go back to doom scrolling. So skip the mindless surfing and visit wretched.org today. That's wretched.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps if we paid heed to the secondary points, the first point might take care of itself. Friel, what's your point? This is Wretched Radio. Dr. John Piper, a brother in Christ, presented his understanding of how a Christian should view and weigh political issues in the 2020 election. I disagree with the main thrust of his article. While I heartily agree and amen and affirm that the character of a politician is important, it used to be, remember? Nevertheless, the actual policies that get implemented, especially on issues of life and death, outweigh the moral effect that an immoral president can have. please heed Proverbs. Character matters. Life and death matters more in the life of a politician and determining for whom we should vote. But I would like to suggest to you that if perhaps we were weighing the issue of character more, not to overweigh and outweigh the issue of life, but if we were willing to consider it more and act on it, I suspect to you that there would be fewer people that were frustrated about the election who are evangelicals, and there would be less fighting inside of the evangelical community, and fewer kids would be jettisoning the faith of their families if we would learn how to rightly go about the business of remembering that we are in God's kingdom. We're not in an earthly kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. It certainly shouldn't be ours either. We are in a spiritual kingdom, and we should be above political parties. Not that we don't find an allegiance in one or the other, or an affinity at least toward one or the other, but that we are able to do better at commenting on politics and politicians than they do on cable news. You know how it is. Watch the debate and then watch the response on the network. Now, the CNN, the MSNBC, they won't have any conservatives, to the best of my knowledge. On Fox, they have, what's the lady's name? She was the Democratic Party. She was totally disgraced. Nevertheless, they've got her on Fox News. She led, I think, that she was like the Democratic Party president. And you guys remember who I'm talking about?
Oh, you've got me. I don't know.
Look up on Fox News and see if you can find the commentators. They've got her on. She's clearly a liberal. So what do you get after the debate? You get six people affirming, and then you get that woman. Oh, you get Juan Williams. But otherwise, you hear exactly what it is that you'd prefer to hear. I get that. I have the same inclination. Believe me, I have the same inclination. But are we willing ever to sound a little like Juan Williams? Is there ever a time when we would go, that's not good. That's real bad right there. I think if we were able to do that better, because it's biblical, it's not compromising, it's remembering our kingdom is not of this world, we don't turn a blind eye to bad character. We don't turn a blind eye to twisted Bible verses. We don't do that. We speak out. We should be willing to speak out with the same intensity, the same clarity with a conservative as we would with a liberal. Why? Because in a sense, we're not conservatives, we're not liberals, we're Christians. Now, we're Christians who tend to be conservative, but we are Christians first and foremost. And I wonder if we would just be willing to point at it and go, no, not good. Right point, wrong tone. Right message, bad tweet. We should be willing to do that. And I think if we would, we would demonstrate that we're being more biblical, not more moderate, not even more thoughtful, if you don't like that idea, more biblical, in that we recognize it is indeed true. We have to heed the warning of Proverbs that the character of a politician, of a leader, it does infect a country. I've argued policies that are life and death weigh more. Nevertheless, we should be able to point and go, not good. I'll vote for you, but that's not good. Kids, here's why that isn't good. Kids, here's how we should be talking. Here's how we should be behaving. Here's how we should engage people when it comes to debate. We have to do both, not because it's moderate, but because it's biblical. And that is, I think, a lesson that we can learn even as we, plural, I'll make it singular. Even as I disagree with John Piper, I disagree with his main conclusion. He's mystified. I'm totally bewildered at his processing. I truly am. I disagree. And I'm not going to say, whatever. No, it's a big deal. And I disagree, respectfully. And he brings up, however, other points in his article, not all of which you might agree, but many we should at least listen to. Come on, if you disagree with him on this, the man isn't dumb. The man is thoughtful. Have you not ever quoted him because of his insight into an issue or into the Word? So let's see what we can agree with and even disagree with if necessary, but ultimately so that we can be biblical political commentators, not partisans. Mike Huckabee stating about John Piper in his article, "I respect the humility with which Pastor Piper presents his viewpoint, making clear he's not telling anyone else how to vote." That may be true. I sense that he was saying it's okay, and that's my concern. It's not okay. It's not okay to vote for a pro-abort. It's not okay. Let me just cross what seems to be the Rubicon these days. It's a sin. When a man says, "Hey, I want to take the lives of more babies." No, he doesn't say that. He says, "I'm pro-choice. I'm for women. I'm for Planned Parenthood." What is he saying? "I'm for the death of more babies."
Yep.
You just can't vote for that. That would be a sin. If somebody said, "Hey, ding dong, I'm at your house. I just think you're fabulous. And wow, you do a great job with the lawn. You're just an amazing, amazing homeowner. Why are you here?" "Oh, well, I was just stopping by to take the life of one of your children." "Come on in. You're so nice. Wow." "Yeah, of course not. You'd call the police. You wouldn't allow somebody into your home who has the stated intention of taking the life of innocent human beings. You would say, if somebody let them into their home knowing what they wanted to do, you'd probably be brought to court for that. If nothing else, wouldn't that be aiding and abetting? Wouldn't that be participating in?" "I think so." "And now you say, wait a second then. Aren't you participating in the sin of a man who is, in my estimation, boorish or sexist or racist?" And the answer is, "No, I'm not. I'm not. He's that way. And I can judge that and say that's a bad behavior for anybody, let alone a leader. But I'm not participating in that sin. If that politician, whether polite or in a vulgar way, says, 'I want to murder more children, vote for me so I can do that.'" That's vastly different. Seventh, Mike Huckabee says, "I agree with Dr. Piper that whatever path we take, it must enhance, not detract from our witness for Jesus." Got to be careful with that one. That's a tricky position. We talk about this regularly when we go about the business of defining and determining a Christian worldview on any subject. How does the gospel inform this subject? And how do I consider my witness? It's a tricky subject because we want to be mindful that our behavior, our political activities, anything, the way that we drive, and we've got a fish bumper sticker, it tells the world something about Jesus. Now, I want to be mindful of that. And yet, I also recognize the gospel informs me the world's going to hate me. And so, if I have to do something that is right and the world is going to respond wrong, I got to do it because it's right. Now, I don't want to do it in an obnoxious fashion. I don't want to do it to be offensive. But I must do it if it is morally commendable, if it is morally correct. We do it not wanting people to hate us, but didn't Jesus promise that would be exactly how the world felt about us?
Sure did.
So I want to be careful. I get it. The kids these days, they don't like the Karen attitude about racial issues, they think, or sexual issues. Okay, so then pack it in. Don't teach it, mom and dad. No, teach it lovingly. Teach it correctly. Hold the line. Do it in a Christ-like way, but do it. You don't give up on it. And so there are things in this article that I think are commendable and wise for us that I actually think if one of them were heeded, that we could become better critics of the politician we prefer, be willing to state this was bad, this was wrong, I prefer that, calling that person to repentance, which is what the message of the Christian and the church should be toward those in the realm of the political sphere, then I wonder if maybe people wouldn't see this as such an either-or sort of consideration, and that maybe, just maybe, if we can learn to be citizens of God's kingdom as we go about the business of voting in this kingdom, it might just speak a better word to the world and maybe there would be less acrimony and maybe there would be better Christian voting, especially with the next generation. Discuss. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.